Chapter 14. Realization. Hour of the Witch. Commander Shavastos looked with distaste upon the myriad readouts and command screens of his personalized XV-85 Enforcer model crisis suit. Its arrangement was no longer to his liking. He eye-flicked a requisition for a standard model XV-8 to be made available to him upon return to Shaz Atoll High Command. Everything was ready. The dual strike was set. A blend of Kao Yon Trap and Montcar Blow that had the Imperials all but defeated purely by their relative positioning. So why did the latest generation of commanders feel the need to overcomplicate matters, clinging to so many auxiliary information feeds as if they would increase the harmony of the moment? Perhaps that was why the Firecast had been straying from the path of victory of late.
To embrace simplicity is to walk the road to perfection, he said, in a voice not quite his own.
Commander, came the reply over the cardinet from his Saznami, Ulartan. His icon shone the blue-grey steel of uncertainty.
Signal ambiguous. Should we let the killing blow fall?
Strike, said Shavastos. That is the distillation of purpose into a single perfect moment. Be the first to strike.
Acknowledged, said Ulartan. Commencing.
Commander Shavastos watched the elements of his strategy fall into place like the interlocking pieces of a meditation mosaic. Each team was playing its part until the whole was complete. The bait, provided by the noble war ghost Oblatai 3-0 in the form of a passing drone plane, had drawn off the Gwela aircraft as surely as the hornet draws the gnaw spider from its web. The sting had been soon to follow. Shavastos's teams had made their way through the city's underground network and then ascended through the spinal elevators of the district's buildings to emerge upon their roofs. It was as he had always told them. To reach the heavens, a warrior must first learn to crawl. They had opened fire with pleasing synchrony, just as they had in a dozen different locations across the planet. He knew with all the conviction of the Tauvar that his fellow swords of Puretide were also bringing their strategic brilliance to bear. This war would soon be over, and then the real conquest of the Imperium could start. Commander Shavastos idly considered joining the fight in person, for something within him was stirred by the sight of blood and the pungent smell of smoke. There was no real need, he reflected, pushing down the impulse with a deep, measured breath. Let the lower ranks of Shaz make their mark this day. A true master of the Code of Fire achieves victory without once drawing his blade. The Aircast also had their part to play, of course, as was only proper in the name of the Tau Va, but he would remain on high, overseeing the slaughter.
To bind the beast, first blunt its claws, said the commander.
With the code phrase given, 12 teams of missile-armed crisis and broadside suits sent him the gold symbol of affirmation. A heartbeat later, missiles streaked from the rooftops on every side of the Imperial drop zone to detonate upon the quad-barreled gun emplacements the Gwela fondly imagined would protect them from aerial attack. The string of detonations was a thing of beauty, with every gunner killed or blinded, and all bar one of the weapons themselves reduced to mangled scrap. Shavastos retroactively blink-recorded it as training footage for later generations.
Admiral Teng, he said softly, eye-flicking the aircast frequency. It is time. The way is clear.
Acknowledged,
came the reedy voice of the aircast admiral. A few decks later, 4 Sun Shark bomber squadrons flew in a tight lattice formation over the war zone. The glowing spheres of their pulse bombs were released from the generator arrays on their undersides, dropping towards pre-programmed coordinates. They crackled down to detonate between the dual towers that bracketed each of the compound's exits. Plasma fire boiled in the craters of each bombardment, fierce enough to melt the metal of a fuel tank. The thuggish Imperial vehicles that were seeking to leave the zone slewed to a halt, blocking each exit with their lumpen mass. Commander Shavastos smiled at the Aircast's impeccable work.
The wise warrior turns the enemy's fortress into his cage, he said. My compliments, Admiral.
I am not worthy of them, Master, said Tang,
his thin voice high and formal.
It is reward enough to watch Master Pure Tide's genius at work.
The northeast quadrant of the battle, purposefully left empty of Tao presence, had seen a surge of Gwaelar troopers clamber over their crude battlement to sprint down the street. Predictably, they were making for the ramp of rubble that led to the roof above. The commander almost felt disappointed, so eagerly did these fools dive into his Kaoyans. Without the Gwaeron Shah to provide a challenge, there would be little honour in this victory. Shavastos blink-clicked an icon gold, and a squadron of devilfish veered from concealment in the streets ahead. Their burst cannon and drone-mounted pulse carbines cut down the human soldiers as they braved the open terrain, spraying boiling gore and dismembered bodies across the streets. In weakness, hide strength. Seeing their comrades so dramatically cut down, the rest of the Gwaelar infantry hunkered down to escape the hail of energy bolts hissing into their ranks. Desultory fire crackled out, and one of their heavy weapons blasted a drone from the sky. An acceptable loss, thought Commander Shavastos. As he had predicted, the Gwaelar had huddled close to one another like frightened herd beasts. He eye-flicked the icon of his railgun teams, and the broadsides he had positioned on the eastern and southern towers opened fire. The armoured refueling silos the Imperium had planted within their beachheads were capable of turning aside even large-caliber rounds from conventional armaments. This, the Firecast knew from experience. The broadside's hypervelocity rounds punched through them with the ease of a bonding knife stabbed through a paper lantern. Three fuel dumps detonated with a thunderous boom. Mushrooming clouds of smoke billowed sky-high as burning fluids turned the huddling soldiers into pillars of flame. Shavastos allowed himself a sad smile at the irony. The crude fuel the humans prized so highly was so indicative of the Gwaelar mindset, powerful, volatile, and easy to ignite into a self-destructive explosion. The elemental castes of the Tau, measured, proficient, and balanced by the blessed ethereals, did not make such simple mistakes. Here, Commander Shavastos had used the vertical axis as their shield against the barbaric Gwaelar, for they had proved too slow of wit to fight with true three-dimensional awareness. A swordsman without reach cannot strike. Even a child realized that. His gaze swept another Montcar into place on his distribution suite. There was a horrible screaming, a sound unlike any Commander Shavastos had heard before. The giant pillars of flame that had erupted from the fuel silos twisted, turning upon themselves, and struck like angry serpents at the crisis missile teams on the rooftops. The commander gaped in horror as heroic fire-cast battlesuits melted away, molten metal mingling with bubbling flesh to spill over the edge of the rooftops in foul rivulets. One of the hammerhead gun tanks closing the trap from the south blipped the deep red of alarm. The commander spared a glance with his left eye, gaping in disbelief at what he saw. A hammerhead on Shavastos's left peripheral screen lurched vertically, tumbling up through the air as if flung skyward by the hand of an invisible giant. It reached the apogee of its flight at the lip of the tower and crashed hard into the broadside missile team stationed there, bowling two of the battlesuits over and skidding into the firing lane of the third with a tremendous crash. Shavastos searched his miraculous mind for a way to counter the threat, to identify and neutralize whatever invisible power had hurled the hovering gunship like a discarded toy. He found nothing. On the roof across from his vantage point, a flare of amber light burst into being next to his railgun broadside team. It was not an explosion, as he had first thought. Its electronic signatures were not recognized by his suit's analysis programs at all. The orange fires burned on as Commander Shavastos diverted an eye's full attention to it. He zoomed in on impulse. There were shapes resolving there, bulky and broad-shouldered in the manner of the Gwaeron Shah elite. They charged from the amber light, raising their shields. Shavastos blink-stabbed the icon of his broadside team. As one, they swung their railguns to face the new threat and smoothly opened fire. The commander breathed a mental sigh of relief. No human infantry could withstand a hypervelocity round impact, no matter what shield they bore. An explosion of cerulean electricity put the lie to his thoughts as the Gwaeron Shah warriors charged straight through the volley into the midst of the broadsides. Hammers rose and fell, disruptive energies flaring as they pulverized the hulking battlesuits one after another. One of the warriors swung a crackling sword of what read on Commander Shavastos's analysis screen as plasma energy. Batting aside a wild swing from a railgun, the shock trooper brought his sword up in diagonal sweep, cutting right through the broadside from hip to shoulder. As the battlesuit's separate halves toppled away, the cauterized remains of its pilot slid free in a tangle of limbs. The commander cast about in mounting confusion. Suddenly, he saw upon his targeting screen a silvered Gwaelar Helion rising onto the roof on which he stood. He could not tell if the metallic figure was a male or female of the species, and it appeared to have no means of propulsion. Its stylized coat billowed in the thermals of the fires below. Let the Earthcast solve that mystery, he thought, sliding his plasma rifle's crosshairs over the being's torso. The kill shot hit its center mass, as he knew it would. It yielded a few puffs of silver smoke, but nothing more. Shavastos's bodyguard opened fire too, their burst cannons whirring as they poured firepower into the creature to no discernible effect. He blink-stabbed permission for his drones to intervene, and they added their pulse carbines to the volley. Consumed in the firestorm, the strange creature's finery was shredded away to nothing, but its silver body remained whole. The drones dived in, and it swatted them away as if they were no more than insects. Then, against all logic, the metallic figure was upon them. Stretching out its hateful five-fingered hands, it grabbed the arm of Ulartan's battlesuit and pulled it free in a shower of sparks. Shavastos winced as it hurled the limb aside to crash through the missile volley of Shaznami Du'Ulka and thud into its plexus hatch. Ulartan's jetpack flared as he boosted away, and the commander quickly followed suit. The silvered thing reached out and caught Ulartan's leg at the last moment, swinging the entire battlesuit like some outrageous club towards Du'Ulka. It struck the other Shaznami full on, bowling them both over the edge of the tower in a spray of sparks. Commander Shavastos was already airborne, putting as much distance between himself and the metal-skinned anomaly as possible. His mind burned hot as he cycled through endless tactics, strategies, and aphorisms, but nothing seemed to apply. He cast around the screens of his command suite, seeing glimpses of Gwaeron Shah brutes cutting down his warriors over and over. Black spots appeared in his vision as the stress built to unbearable levels.
Commander Shavastos, came a voice on the edge of panic. Unknown enemy capabilities encountered. What are your orders?
Shavastos felt white-hot needles of pain shoot through his mind. An aggressive migraine thrust a fist of agony under his skull. His focus was gone, his thoughts scattered in 100 directions at once. He clawed at the emergency protocol pad, and his battlesuit veered away into the night.
Commander! Came the voice over the cardinet. Commander! What are your orders?
Neither Shavastos nor Puretide could reply. Numitor triggered his jump pack, focusing on the wider battle despite the pyrotechnics of the psychers at work. With epistolary elixirs and his terminators using arcane means to counterattack the artillery warsuits, and Manus's columns of flame burning the jump-capable machines from the rooftops, the greatest remaining threat was posed by the transmotive. Tau infantry were disembarking by the score, and there was little in the way of firepower to hinder them. Most were firing salvos into the complex from the edge of the sweep rail bridge. Others had spilled from the far side of the translocator, jumping down to the roof of the cylindrical building beyond, finding yet another vantage point from which to pour firepower into the Munitorum base. The Codex Astartes had a lot to say on the matter of emergent threats. Even after the passage of almost 10 millennia, those tenets still held true. The wording was ancient, laid down by the great Primarch of the Ultramarines, but in Numitor's eyes, they all boiled down to one ageless concept. Hit them before they hit you. The sergeant soared high on twin plumes of flame towards the sweep rail, with Magros, Duolor, Eodus, and Golotan close behind him. Aiming to use the roof between the two points as a staging post, Numitor flew over the lip of the building where a team of three enemy warsuits had stood moments before. Since Vicula's pyromancers had seized control of the Promethean fires, all that remained of them was vile, bubbling sludge. A volley of plasma shots spat down, one burning into Numitor's jump pack as he turned his head briefly to ensure his men were still close behind.
"Damn it!" he swore,
cycling his pack's jets. They were intact, thank the Emperor. Imperial technology was built to last. A moment later, he was airborne once more. A smattering of pulse rifle shots blazed down. This time, one struck Aeordus, burning away the squad marking of his pauldron, whilst another hit Duolor's chainsword and sent it spinning down into the street. The third hit Numitor on the top of the head, whipping it backward, but the ceramite of his helm held true. A flash of insight struck him, ill-timed but profound. Less than a few weeks ago, he would have made that jump unhelmed, the better to drink in the sights and smells of an active war zone. "No more," swore Numitor, "no more unnecessary risks." He had brothers to avenge, life debts to pay, and they would be made good in Xenos blood. Numitor made the leap to the sweep rail, his squad close behind him. They crunched down on the alabaster lip in quick succession, the transmotive 12 feet away to the right. The Tau warriors ranged along the sweep rail's edge, scrambled to make the best of the enfilade. The closest opened fire, one of the shots punching into Numitor's hip to spin him halfway over the sweep rail bridge's edge. He sent a burst of fire from his pack that flung him upright, and then turned the momentum into a charge.
"For McCrag! For Ultramar! And McCrag!"
The assault marines shot along the sweeping bridge, their flight all but horizontal. There was a burst of light and sound from some manner of suppressive grenade, but their momentum was unchanged. With their heads turned away and their photo-lens dampeners kicking in, the blast did little more than dazzle. Numitor and his squad hit the Tau lines like a cluster of cobalt meteors, shoulders turned to slam into the milling Xenos ranks with maximum impact. Three Tau were hurled over the low wall of the sweep rail, tumbling to their deaths in the rubble-strewn streets below. Six more were bowled from their feet into their comrades behind, the domino effect of the serial impact knocking rifles wide and square-bodied pistols from shaking fingers. Then the Space Marines were in the thick of the foe, and the full power of their training was brought to bear. Aeordus's chainsword juddered through outstretched hands, wrists, and breastplates to chew voraciously through the alien flesh beneath. Magros kicked a Tau warrior over the sweep rail edge to bounce from a warsuit passing below, his pistol taking the machine's head from its shoulders as it turned to face him. Duolor discharged his own plasma pistol at point-blank range. The shot from its fat muzzle burned through one Tau warrior's chest, even as Duolor's open palm crunched into another's face. Golotan looked half-dead, the ceramite of his battleplate cracked in 100 places by a pulse bomb, but he fought as if born anew, spinning and shooting and slashing with his chainsword until torn cadavers were strewn in his wake. Numitor's contribution was sheer, crushing violence. He pounded one Tau warrior into a crumpled heap with a downward swing of his power fist, then shot an explosive bolt into the gut of another to send a fountain of crimson viscera over the aliens taking aim behind. His fist came in once more in a backhand blow, a trail of lightning in its wake as it crunched horizontally through two Xenos warriors frantically trying to get out of the way. In such cramped confines, the Tau's long-barreled rifles were proving worse than useless. With a narrow column of space separating them from the transmotive and the sheer drop on the other side of the sweep rail, they were at the assault marine's mercy. Those at the back had begun to retreat to the far carriage, their brethren covering them with ill-disciplined volleys as their squadmates sought better shots. A lucky hit took Duolor's plasma pistol in an explosion of burning light, the hissing liquid inside his cartridge burning across the Iaxian's flank. He did not cry out, but instead dived further into the Tau ranks, fists swinging to bowl over the Tau warriors in arm's reach. Numitor reveled in the shrill cries and wails of the alien as he killed. The Xenos were scrambling away from him as if he were a demon, some literally shaking with fear. Aware he was enjoying himself too much, he forced himself to think like a sergeant rather than a new recruit. Screams echoed from the Munitorum zone below, those of men in great shock and pain. With the Tau breaking before him, he took a swift glance into the wider battle and saw a storm of pulse rifle fire from a low roof on the other side of the transmotive sleeting into the Astra Militarum behind the Aegis lines. A Chimera transport moved in to cover them, but the Tau firepower was intense and the vehicle detonated with a dull crump that took half a squad with it. An idea struck Numitor. He took a quick glance under the transmotive's hull.
"Get to the end carriage, equal spacing along its length," he voxed to his squad. "Frag grenades for suppression."
His squad acted as ordered, plucking frag grenades from their belts and short-fusing them to detonate a second after they were thrown. The Tau massing in the carriage took cover, but most of their number were still hurled backwards or flattened by the violence of the serial explosions. Numitor blasted forwards over a carpet of alien corpses, skidding to a halt to reach under the transmotive with his power fist. The gauntlet's disruption fields crackled and snapped in protest as he grasped the magbar underneath and wrenched it loose, buckling the entire length and sending energy fizzling haywire as it was broken free from the magnetic field of the single rail beneath. Unbalanced, the entire carriage tilted over towards him.
"Backs to it and heave!" shouted Numitor.
His men, already in position, obeyed without question. The carriage was massively heavy. Alone, even a space marine could not have prevented himself from being crushed like an insect beneath it. Five straining together, however, was a different matter. The tilting carriage slowed and stopped. The weight was immense. Numitor ground his teeth, but he could feel his foothold slipping. He braced one leg against the sweep rail wall, then the other, to stabilize himself. Dualor followed his example, the others finding purchase of their own. Still, the transmotive carriage bore down on them, inch by inch, metal shrieking in protest as its sheer tonnage was brought to bear.
"On my mark," said Numitor,
jaw clenched.
"Boost!"
All five space marines pushed backwards with everything they had, the servo motors of their battle plate whining as they triggered maximum thrust from their jump packs. The carriage lifted swiftly, reached its apex, and toppled in the other direction amongst a howling of jump engines, its sole remaining mag tether rail acting as a hinge. It slammed down on the other side of the bridge with such force that its coupling to the carriage behind it was torn clean away. The entire section, Tau passengers and all, went over the far side of the sweep rail in a spray of debris. There was a split second of silence as it fell. Then, with a titanic boom, the transmotive carriage crashed lengthwise into the Fire Warrior gunline on the roof beneath. The sound resounded across the battlescape as its immense bulk smashed through the cylindrical building, taking perhaps 50 Xenos riflemen and sniper teams with it in an avalanche of rubble. A vast cloud of dust billowed up, twin curtains of alabaster bracketing the sweep rail as the assault marines renewed their attack, bolt pistols spitting death into those few Tau left atop it. Numitor slammed in a fresh clip as he strode forward, putting down the last two aliens with pinpoint shots that blossomed into messy explosions of gore. He was smiling fiercely beneath his helm. "Make a weapon from your environment," Rabute Gilliman had written in the holy tome of the Codex Astartes. "Make it your sword, and make it your shield." Numitor had made it a hammer, but that suited him just fine. Atop a domed roof scattered with Tau corpses, Cato Sicarius laughed grimly. He was liberally covered in Xenos blood from the waist down. It made him feel unclean, but somehow righteous. Nearby, his squad dismembered the last of the aliens to resist. An impact smacked into the small of the sergeant's back, burning pain flaring as his compromised armor yielded. Then another impact. This time he stumbled, putting the hilt of his Tempest Blade against the gentle slope of the roof to stop himself from going over altogether. He turned as he got back up, eyes wide and plasma pistol aimed toward the source for the return shot. He could see no Xenos in the street below. A flare of white as another impact hit him, this time in the temple. A kill shot, stopped only by an inch of power armor. Shaking his head to clear it, Sicarius found his right eye sticky with blood, with one ear ringing and torn ragged by slivers of dislodged ceramite.
"I'll kill you all!"
he roared, firing half-blind into the street. His men followed suit, but their bolts found nothing.
"Cease!"
shouted Sicarius, not willing to waste any more ammo. He was livid. It was happening again. The stealth ghosts were hunting him.
"Down in the street,"
he said, firing up his jump pack and leaping in a controlled descent to land with a gravelly crunch. His pistol muzzle swept the area as his squad landed nearby, auto-sensors scanning. Another flash of white plasma bolts, this time from the left. Two of them took Ionzion in the shoulder, the big warrior's grunt of pain and surprise audible over the vox. Three more took Caetorus in the chest, knocking him over in a cloud of flaking black paint. Still gripping his flamer, he sat up fast, a boost of his jetpack hurling him forward and up into the air. He sent a glorious cloud of flame roaring into the streets, hoping to consume whatever was hiding there, but even the gouting Promethium fires found nothing. Sicarius cast about, desperately looking for a psyker in the hope that their extrasensory perception could reveal their persecutors. He found his opportunity, but it came from something else entirely. To the west, the lead carriage of the transmotive on the high sweep rail was toppling onto the roof below, collapsing an entire building floor by floor. Cobalt-armored figures punched the air on the bridge above. A billowing cloud of dust exploded outward, racing towards the conquerors.
"Edifice damage!" Sicarius cried over the vox. "Must be Numitor's sloppy work!"
The reply was distorted, but by the tone, the sergeant picked up its meaning well enough. Then the wall of debris and dust was upon them. With it came revelation. No matter the camouflage, no matter their technology, the Tau stealth operatives would be hit by the dust as much as any other.
"Look for them in the clouds!" shouted Sicarius. "Hunt and slay!"
Harsh shouts of assent came over the vox as his warriors plunged into the choking mist. Sicarius ran pell-mell down the street, aware that he had seconds at best. The words of the Codex Astartes rose in his mind. Opportunity is fleet, and so must be the victor. But never hunt alone.
"Glavius, Velitan, Ionzion, stay close to me,"
ordered Sicarius.
"A spear's length apart, we bar this end of the street. Caetorus, Colnid, Denturis, get to the other end as fast as you can. Lay down flame and close it off."
"Aye, sergeant,"
came the responses. Sicarius heard something in their voices, a note of warmth, even relief. Caetorus and his comrades roared away, the dust swirling into eddying vortices behind them as they made it to the end of the street in a single bound. An orange glow appeared in the distance as Caetorus threw a linear inferno across the street. There, a bulbous shape, as much an absence of solid matter as a recognizable anatomy. Three more disturbances in the dust shimmered behind it. Sicarius bellowed like a bull, hurtling forward with blade outstretched in an exaggerated Talasarian lunge. The stealther swung its arm cannon, dust swirling around it, but it was too slow. Sicarius felt his arm jolt in his shoulder as the Tempest Blade ran through the thing's torso and punched out the other side. A crackle of disruption energies, and the stealther was visible, a weirdly shaped biped with an oval core and back-jointed legs.
"Not so clever now,"
said Sicarius through gritted teeth, bracing his foot on its chest and pulling his sword free in a spurt of blood. Velitan was nearby, driving his chainsword up with both hands to rip the arms from another of the stealther Tau. Glavius dived left as a stream of shots pulsed from another's quad-barreled cannon, one of them scoring the ceramite of his jump pack. Ionzion was on the Xenos in a flash of blue, slamming into the warsuit from the side to knock it sprawling. As the Tau warrior scrabbled to get upright, Ionzion stamped on the sensor unit that formed its head, dislodging it from the body before driving the tip of his chainsword straight down into the gap. He was rewarded with a spray of blood and bone. Sicarius had seen the warrior's chainsword chew through 100 different types of armor. No matter the sophistication, it always made a horrible mess of whatever was inside. The dust was clearing, but the sounds of detonating bolt rounds and the whoosh of promethium let Sicarius know the men he had stationed at the end of the street were still engaged. He looked back to see two trails of mist making for the corner of the street, and his nostrils flared at the thought of some of his foes slipping the net. Without the dust to reveal them, the stealthers would be able to hunt the ultramarines on their terms once more. A bald, stooped girl in torn Balagast fatigues staggered around the curved corner of the building, clutching her stomach. She gave a gurgling yell and spasmed, projectile vomiting a copious stream of what looked to Sicarius like egg yolk. The stream turned into a geyser, gushing into an escaping Tau stealther. It pushed the warsuit back, its feet slipping and skidding into the opposite wall. Congealing, the stringy vomit pinned the stealther in place, a yellowish spider's web that had trapped a meaty morsel of prey. Sicarius and Ionzian were running over to kill the stealther when a 10-foot warsuit hovered into view above them, flames licking from the weapon systems on its arm and shoulder. It poured a torrent of fire and plasma into Ionzian. An unearthly scream came from the big warrior as his ceramite and flesh melted away. Sicarius blasted upwards to meet the battlesuit head-on, passing a low rooftop where a wizened, black-skinned psyker looked right at him. Then the battlesuit's flamers roared, and Sicarius was consumed by fire and ash. Numitor leapt onto what was left of the transmotive, looked back to the Imperial compound, and swore an oath of frustration. Everywhere, anarchy reigned. The Astra Militarum were fighting a dozen skirmishers at once, instead of working as a single united front. Lakes of flame burned amongst them, sending columns of choking smoke skyward that billowed this way and that in the tempest of war. For all their fortifications, plans, orders, and military precision, the Imperial Guard had been taken apart in a matter of minutes, and from what Alexis had said, the same story was being repeated across the planet. Yet the bedlam was by no means confined to the Imperial lines. Every Tau ambush site had been smashed, burned, stormed, or collapsed by the intensity of the counterattack. Tau bodies littered the streets in greater numbers than dead guardsmen. A victory of sorts. Flames ran wild in the streets, appearing like capering elementals or writhing serpents in those places where Vicola's pyromancers unleashed the powers of their haunted minds. To the north, a dome of flame shed flickering light across the whole grisly vista, making shadows dance. They looked to Numitor like devils rejoicing at some hellish feast. The Imperium had brought utter chaos to this world. The sergeant shook his head, appalled at where those thoughts were leading. Retribution. They had brought retribution. A few roofs away, Alexis and his Terminator-armored brethren were smashing apart the last of a warsuit team optimized for supporting heavy weapons fire. It was a rare honor to glimpse the first company at work. The plasma blade borne by the unit's sergeant left bright blue trails in the air as it sliced through battlesuit, pilot, and drone without slowing. The grace and swordsmanship of its bearer impressive, despite him being clad in the heaviest armor the Adeptus Astartes could field. Numitor was not the only one to notice the Terminator assault. A team of wide-bodied drones, jutting rifles underslung beneath them, appeared from the core of a split-cylinder building to the southeast. Pivoting smoothly, they spat fire into the melee. Numitor gasped as they struck Alexis three times, tearing away chunks of his chest and stomach before sending him sprawling from the roof into the streets below. A low hum, and the squadrons of the Tau pilot cast came through the clouds once more, spheres of crackling plasma held suspended beneath them. One after another, they dropped their strange munitions, the energy payloads detonating amongst the Terminators on the rooftops. The Ultramarines raised their storm shields high, only for the drones that had felled Alexis to hammer a volley of ion energy into their exposed arm joints. More bombs rained down. Two of the Terminators went over, the heavy crunch of their impact audible even across the battle-torn plaza. They were stranded, their foes out of reach. Even their priceless and irreplaceable suits of tactical dreadnought armor had limits. A few more bombing runs, and the veterans would be no more.
"Squad Numitor," called the sergeant. "Close in! We have work to do."
Sicarius opened his eyes to see the intense fires that eclipsed his vision flow over his head, encapsulating him with the web-trapped stealther and the stooped young woman. The flames roiled and poured like liquid covering an invisible dome. Intense amber light cast dancing shadows across the strange tableau.
"We are safe," said the girl softly, wiping ectoplasm from her mouth with the back of her sleeve as she looked around the fire dome.
"He's not," said Sicarius, driving his tempest blade sidelong into the wriggling Tau stealther's headpiece. The Xenos fell still.
Sicarius scraped his blade on his forearm and made to leave, but the heat of the dome around him was so blisteringly intense he fell back again. He could not go through without risking severe burns, or worse, the ignition of his jump pack's fuel.
"This will not stand," he said. "It's still up there, the flamer suit, and Ionzion is down."
"It isn't,"
the girl said seriously, shaking her head. Ruddy light played across the contours of her skull, wispy strands of psyker stuff coiling around it. So small, thought Sicarius, so easily crushed.
"That warsuit used flame near Cobliazi," she continued. "It's dead already, melted."
"You are Darapor," said Sicarius.
She nodded.
"And this is your contribution to the war effort, this whatever it is."
He waved to the yolky mess that still pinned the Tau to the wall. She nodded again, her half-smile showing broken teeth.
"I just think of them Tau all lined up in their tubes, and it makes me so sick I have to let it out."
Sicarius gave an approving frown.
"Commendable hatred."
There was a distant series of booms, the light of the explosions visible even under the strange dome of fire.
"That's the air cast," she said sadly. "Their castes all work together, like disgusting insects."
"It won't save them,"
said Sicarius, his features grim as death.
"It will," said Darapor. "I see them in my dreams. The main ones tell the rest what to do, and the others all have to do what they say."
"The main ones?"
Sicarius was only half listening, prowling around the circumference of the fire dome like a caged lion.
"The fifth caste. No one knows about them."
Sicarius stopped and turned to the young psyker.
"What did you say?"
"There's another caste. No one listens to me, but I see them in their hover chairs. The golden giant showed them to me in a dream."
"And this fifth caste, they are the leaders of this race?"
She nodded earnestly, picking a string of ectoplasm from between her teeth. Around them, the dome of fire was dimming, flame coiling away to leave thinning smoke behind.
"My thanks," said Sicarius, turning to go, "for the shelter and for the knowledge."
"It was Cobliazi," said Darapor.
Her tone was awkward, but she stood a little taller, a little straighter.
"You have to say it, Cobliazi."
"Fight well, little one,"
said Sicarius, blasting into the sky to rejoin the fray. Numitor sprinted down the corpse-scattered track of the sweep rail before launching diagonally from its wall. The running jump saw him sail through the air, a half-second burst from his pack pushing him onto the oval roof of the wide tower below. Magros was close behind as he changed direction and bounded again, this time setting his jump pack to full blast. They left Duolor, Golotan, and Iordus behind to set crack grenades at the weakest points of the drone-repaired bridge, their orders to bring it down. For another translocator to bring in more reinforcements at this point would be disastrous. Numitor leapt over the burning hull of a Lehman Russ demolisher, the tank still hammering a Tau vehicle echelon with wide-bore shells even as it trailed fire. The Balagas Castellans were outnumbered, both in terms of infantry and machines, and with the anti-aircraft gunners cut down in the opening salvo of the battle, the Tau's air superiority would likely see the Xenos turn the tide once more. Another jump, thought Numitor, and he would redress the balance in person. There was a shrill whistle descending in the manner of an incoming ordnance. A heavy shell plummeted down to blast into the Tau vehicle echelon, hurling two of the ochre-hulled skimmers into the buildings on either side. Numitor heard an exultant shout and spotted the Castellan's Master of Ordnance, Nordger, slamming his fist into his palm.
"Keep them coming!"
shouted Numitor as he backed away from the roof's edge and took another running jump. Across from him was what looked to be a largely intact anti-aircraft emplacement, abandoned atop a bastion half-caked in soot. Numitor was perhaps 10 feet from the bastion's roof when a missile veered around a building to smack into his chest plate. It detonated with such force that it flung him backwards and sent Magros off course to slam into the building's flank. They both went down hard into the street, Numitor struggling to stay conscious as the double impact turned his sight into an indistinct blur. A deep boom nearby brought Numitor to his senses. Magros was out, lying motionless in the street. There was no time to attend him. There was another detonation from the roofs to the south. The Terminators, without elixirs to move them, were stranded up there, and the circling Tau bombers knew it. The sergeant triggered his jump pack, intending to vault upwards to the bastion roof above. The left engine caught, but the right stuttered and coughed, failing to engage. It was all he could do to keep from being flipped over. Mortis signals flared upon his helm's readout, a sure sign the pack would not respond without the proper ritual maintenance. Numitor ran across the street, planted a foot atop an Aegis line, and sprang as high as he could, catching the jutting muzzle of a heavy bolter protruding from the sponsons halfway up the bastion's flank with one hand. He reached a foot out and braced himself on the rivet-studded bottom lip of the gun emplacement. He pushed up far enough to get both hands on the top edge of the sponson just as a volley of Xenos weapon fire stitched vertically up the sagging banner to his left. Ignoring it, Numitor hauled himself upward, getting a knee, then a foot atop the emplaced weapon. He spring-jumped upward to catch the lip running around the bastion's crenulated roof, one foot on the highest outer ridge. From there, it was a simple matter to push upwards over the lowest point of the battlements, rolling over onto the floor beyond it with a thumping clatter of ceramite. Another missile detonated, flattening him against the blood-slicked steel. Had Numitor been a heartbeat slower, it would have pitched him right off the roof and back into the street. Numitor stole a glance through the battlement's vision slit. The missiles had come from a wheeling Tau fighter. Time to strike before it came back around for another run. The sergeant made for the battered Icarus quad gun that jutted from the circular plate in the middle of the roof. Though one of the barrels was a fused mess, three were still intact. The cybernetic skull attached to the gun's automation reliquary buzzed angrily at him, but its status lantern was green. It was still ready to fight.
"Time for your revenge, machine," whispered Numitor.
He swung the anti-aircraft gun all the way around until the Tau fighter was square in his sights and squeezed the trigger. The recoil shook his arms as the quad gun roared its fury. Its autoloaders clanked and spat sparks as shell after shell thumped into the breech, and 12 spurts of fire blazed from the ends of the three barrels still intact. Numitor's photo lenses kicked in, dampening the flashes of the weapon muzzles to show the Xenos craft weaving through the flak. Numitor's aim was sound, and the volume of shells he fired impressive. One took the Xenos craft in the wing, all but tearing it off. Trailing smoke, it veered over the circular roofs and disappeared from sight. A distant explosion put a broad smile on Numitor's face as he swung the quad gun around to find another target. On the other side of the Munitorum base, a squadron of Tau aircraft were dropping one pulse bomb after another. The Terminators of the First Company were taking heavy fire, not only contending with the white fires of plasma bombs, but also the marksman drones on the roof behind them. Outfitted for close assault and too heavy to make the leap, there was nothing they could do short of hunker down and weather the storm.
"Time's up, Xenos," muttered Numitor, aligning the quad gun's sights upon the circling squadron of Tau bombers. "Your doom is at hand."
The sergeant squeezed the trigger and held it, playing the long-barreled autocannons back and forth across the skies. The Tau pilots, thinking the Imperial air cover neutralized, had been flying in close formation. The punishment the gun meted out was ruinous. Shells the thickness of a man's wrist blasted through wings, fuselages, and cockpits. In a matter of seconds, all three of the aircraft were sent blazing out of the skies. A second Xenocraft squadron peeled around, guns returning fire. This time, its target behind the Icarus emplacement was no mere Imperial guardsman, but a space marine clad in indomitable power armor. Impacts punched into both the quad gun and Numitor, one smacking right into the sergeant's throat and stealing his breath, but the thick layers of his battle plate stopped it from tearing his windpipe out. Numitor held the flak gun steady, thumping out rounds with a deep staccato rhythm. His fuselage saw the lead aircraft torn down in flames, followed moments later by the one behind it. There was a hissing series of clicks as the autocannons ran dry, barrels plinking as they cooled. The third Xenos aircraft came on, the quad-linked ion weapon that formed the sting under its tail blasting hissing beams that struck the Icarus gun true. The energies were blinding in their intensity, and Numitor was forced to turn away. With a groan of defeated metal, the entire anti-aircraft array slumped to the right, hopelessly ruined. The aircraft was closer now as it came in low, guns retrained on Numitor himself. He cycled up his jump pack on instinct, but nothing happened. Then the Bastion itself opened fire. With its war spirit roused, the same heavy bolter that had provided him a handhold less than a minute ago added its deep bass to the chorus of destruction echoing through the city. Large caliber bolts stitched an arc in the sky as they tracked the oncoming Xenocraft. One smacked into the Tau fighter's nose, detonating in a sudden blossom of fire and smoke. The Xenocraft roared on, swathed in flame and out of control, hurtling towards Numitor on a collision course. The sergeant ducked as the Tau aircraft careened headlong over him and buried itself in the building behind, its impact so tremendous that only its tail could be seen. With its architectural stability shattered, the top of the Xenos structure collapsed in an avalanche of rubble that crushed the aircraft flat. The entire roof section slid away, and the landslide crashed into the street, throwing up another bow wave of rock dust. With their air cover gone and their ambush in tatters, the Tau on the rooftops around the Munitorum zone were making a full retreat. Even the drones floated out of sight, the cursed discs disappearing into the dust-choked streets. The Terminators stranded on the rooftops across from Numitor broke formation, moving to areas of building that were still broadly intact. Their sergeant caught his gaze, his eyepieces glinting as he raised his plasma blade in a Macragian salute. Numitor smiled broadly at the sight, tapping his foot on his Bastion's access hatch in a gesture of thanks to its machine spirits. There was no finer feeling than victory hard won. His thoughts strayed to the Codex Astartes once more. "Do not hasten to attack the enemy in his stronghold," it taught. "There he is strongest, and you may dash your strength to nothing against his walls." The sergeant's elation faded as he applied the maxim to the wider situation, not to the Tau that had attacked their ersatz fortress zone, but to the Imperial invasion, a headlong attack upon the heart of an alien empire, a civilization with limitless technical resource. The battle for the Munitorum zone was over, but the war was a long way from won.